Happy Friday and welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode and listening to what I have to say this week about what's going on in the world of baseball. It's been a little bit since I put out an episode of the podcast. Did not get around to it last week, and I apologize for that. I was just completely swamped with work for class last week, and I had a whole bunch of other stuff going on. I went out of town last weekend, so I had to get all of my work done during the week last week. So I was unable to get around to putting out a podcast episode, but we're back at it today. And I think that there's a lot of stuff to talk about right now as the MLB postseason is right in the heart of the league championship series. A lot to talk about, a lot going on around Major League Baseball. We do not have an Icons interview today. Actually, no one else joining me on the podcast today. It's just me going solo today. So first time I've done that in a while. Hopefully you guys don't get too bored with just listening to me ramble on about my thoughts on the world of baseball right now. But that's what's going to happen. I do have a couple of things that I want to talk about. But before I get into that, just a reminder that we have done some pretty cool interviews over the past couple of weeks. We've talked to some guys around the RCBL who have recently retired, and some guys who aren't really retired, but they've been playing for a while. They're reaching that icon stage in their career, and they're going to come back for a couple more years. So go and check out those episodes on foulballarea.com. Also, make sure that you like and follow Foulball Area on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with everything related to the podcast. Be notified when all the new episodes come out and when anything is going on with Foulball Area. And while you're here, make sure to take a look around the website. I've made some changes to it. If you check out the other tabs on the website, the WUVT tab, the Tech Lunch Pail, those are some other outlets that I work for here in Blacksburg. So make sure to take a look at those. You can see some of my other work, and you can keep up with me on those outlets as well. So with all that said, let's dive right into it. I believe on the last episode, I talked a little bit about the Braves because they were in their first playoff series in 5 years. They were playing the Dodgers in the National League Division Series. And I was feeling pretty confident. I was hoping that they would be able to beat the Dodgers. I was hoping that they would win that series and that they would advance in the playoffs. And I thought they could. You know, the Dodgers are very good, as we know now, but the Braves had a good team this year also. And I really felt confident that they could beat the Dodgers, that they could give them a run for their money. And obviously now we know that the Braves were not able to beat the Dodgers. They lost in 4 games in the National League Division Series, and it's very sad. I was upset. But, you know, it was good to see the Braves back in the playoffs. I'm not going to say it was a good series because it wasn't really. You know, they won 1 game, and that was an exciting game. But other than that, it was a tough series to watch. They couldn't really get much offense going, and it was rough. But it was just good to see the Braves back in the playoffs after 5 years of not making the playoffs. That was a good sight to see. The Sunday night of that National League Division Series, it was Sunday, October 7th, and the Braves were playing the Dodgers at home at SunTrust Park, down 2-0, so it's an elimination game. They lose, they go home. The Braves put up 5 runs in the bottom of the 2nd inning. The Dodgers slowly come back. They put up 2 in the 3rd inning. They score 3 more later on in the game, so they tie it up 5-5. In the bottom of the 6th, the Braves score 1 more run, and that puts them in the lead, 6-5. They hold on to that lead for the rest of the game, and they win Game 3 of the NLDS versus the Dodgers. So they're down 2-1 after this game. And I'm sitting in my living room on that Sunday night, and I'm thinking, they have 1 more home game this series. Could be their last game of this season. I've got to go to this game. I've never been to a playoff game. The Braves haven't made the playoffs in 5 years. When am I going to get this chance again? I've got to go to this game. And my girlfriend was watching the game with me, and I'm like, I'm going to Atlanta tomorrow. Like, I need someone to go with me. You want to go with me? And she's like, no, I have a midterm this week. I'm not going to go down to Atlanta. So I start texting my friends, and I text my friend who goes to Auburn, and I said, hey, you want to meet me at the Braves game tomorrow? And he had a midterm that week also, and he had to work on Tuesday night, so he wasn't going to go. Texted another one of my friends who graduated from Virginia Tech last year, big Braves fan. I said, hey, what are the odds that you want to go to Atlanta tomorrow with me for the Braves game? And he said he had an LSAT class on Monday night, so he couldn't go. So I'm like texting everybody, trying to figure out who can go with me down to Atlanta to watch the Braves in Game 4 of the NLDS. Nobody can go. So I asked my roommate. He's not a big baseball fan. He likes baseball, but he's not a big fan like I am. And I'm like, what are the chances you want to go to Atlanta with me tomorrow? And I know he likes doing spontaneous things like this, so he's strongly considering it. And I can see he's torn. He really wants to go, but he doesn't know if he should go. He's got stuff he has to do. It costs money. I'm like, I'll pay for your ticket. That gets him a little more convinced towards going, but he's still not all the way there. So, you know, we're thinking about it. I'm like, all right, think about it tonight. I'll wake up in the morning. I'll check the ticket prices. If they're still cheap, we're going. So we get up. I check the ticket prices. They've actually gone down from $44 to $37. So the prices have gone down. And I'm like, all right, Eric, we're going. And he's like, I don't know if I can do it. I don't think I can do it, Matt. I've got too much stuff to do. So I'm like, all right. I mean, it would have been fun, but you know, you're probably right. Got stuff to do. Got class. Got midterms. So I'm sitting in my room. I got up early that morning to check the ticket prices. I don't have class for another 2 hours. I'm sitting in my room. And he comes in and he says, what if I did go with you? I'm like, well, what if you did go with me? Let's go. And he thinks about it for a little bit. And he's like, all right, let's do it. So I bought the tickets right there, bought a parking pass. I threw some stuff in a bag. You know, I give him like half an hour to get ready. We hit the road, get gas, start driving down 81 towards Atlanta. We're making our way there. We still have about 3.5 hours to go. We're excited. Like, spontaneous road trip down to Atlanta. See the Braves in a playoff game, elimination game against the Dodgers. I only had one class that Monday, so I was skipping it. I didn't care. We get to Kings Mountain, North Carolina, and some guy in a truck pulls up next to us on the interstate and points down. So I roll down the window, and he yells at me something. All I hear him yell is tire. So I'm assuming that we have a flat tire. So we pull off the road, find a gas station in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, and sure enough, we have a flat tire. So go across the street to the Advance Auto Parts, ask them if there's anywhere that can change a flat tire around there. They say that there's a shop two doors down called K&E Auto. So we go there. A couple of guys standing in the parking lot, go up to the door, try to push hours, say 9 to 5, pushing the door open, but it's locked. So I look down, sign says open, but it says 9 to 5 on Tuesday through Saturday. And it's Monday. So I'm like, shoot. They're not open. What are we going to do now? We talked to the guys in the parking lot. They said there's another place a few miles down the road. So we start heading there. And on the way there, we find a place called Mr. Tire. I'm like, that seems fitting. We need a tire change. Let's go to Mr. Tire. So we go there and they take us in. Told them that we're on the way to the Braves game. We still have 3.5 hours to go. So they're like, all right, we'll see what we can do. We'll try to get it done quickly. Get you back on the road. So we're there probably about half an hour. They fix the tire, check the other tires, and we're good to go. We start heading back down to Atlanta. At this point, we're about an hour behind schedule. We're going to be a little bit late to the game. But we're going. We're on our way there. We're going to make it. We get to Atlanta, and it's around 5 o'clock. We have to deal with rush hour traffic. That adds about another 20 minutes. And, you know, that's not really that bad considering Atlanta traffic. So add another 20 minutes onto the trip. We finally get to SunTrust Park, pull in the parking lot, run across the street, into the stadium, get some food, sit down in our seats, and enjoy the Braves game 4 against the Dodgers last Monday night. And it was a good game. It was good. We get there. About like 2 innings after we get there, Kurt Suzuki hits a clutch RBI single. The Braves take the lead 2-1. And then later on in the game, Manny Machado hits a home run. And it was all over from there. Dodgers ended up winning the game. They win the series. It was the Braves' last game of the season. It was a rough one, man. It was tough to watch, especially late in the game. The Braves had so many chances when they could have won. And late in the game, they just couldn't get any runs across the plate. They had bases loaded. They couldn't get any runs across the plate. They had a couple guys, really good hitters up at bat. Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, they had chances. They couldn't get anything going. It was tough to watch. But man, being there with all the other Braves fans at SunTrust Park in Atlanta doing the tomahawk chop. There's one point. They start playing the tomahawk chop. Everybody's doing it. They turn the lights out in the stadium. Everyone has their phone flashlights lit up doing the chop. That was amazing. I'm never going to forget that. That trip down to Atlanta, it was, you know, despite the fact that they lost, their season's over, elimination game against the Dodgers, it was 100% worth it. We got back at 4 a.m. that night. We drove home after the game, got back at 4 a.m. And I had an 8 a.m. the next day. So 100% worth it going down to Atlanta. Driving 6 hours each way to see the Braves in their final game of the 2018 season. It was a fun time. I'm really glad we did it. Just thought I'd share that story with you guys. And going off of that, you know, the Braves are moving into the offseason now, and there's been some pretty big news coming out of Atlanta over the past couple of days. First, they signed manager Brian Snitker and the rest of the coaching staff to a 2-year contract extension. So I am very happy with that move. I think it's a very good move. Brian Snitker should be the manager of the year this season for Major League Baseball. He did a very good job leading the Braves. Nobody thought they were going to win a division title. Nobody thought they'd even be in the playoffs. So he took a team that was projected to not even make the playoffs to a division title. I mean, last year they went 72-90. This year they flipped that. They went 90-72. So a very good season by Brian Snitker as the manager of the Braves. He should win manager of the year. And they reward him with a 2-year contract extension. They're bringing back most of the assistant coaches also. So very good move there by the GM and the rest of the Braves front office. Some other things. I'm going to talk a little bit about the offseason. You know, I'll dive into it more as we get further into the offseason. But just some of the basics right now. Nick Markakis and Kurt Suzuki are both free agents going into this offseason. So those are two players that you should keep an eye on, because Nick Markakis just had a career year for the Braves. His first ever All-Star appearance. And this season, he batted .297, 93 RBIs, 185 hits. So a very good season by Nick Markakis. He was phenomenal in the outfield for the Braves. So he's a free agent this year, but it's going to be interesting to see if they re-sign him. I think they should. And GM Alex Anthopoulos has talked about their outfield situation, saying that with Markakis being a free agent, they need to either go get a left fielder or a right fielder. He's not ruling out the possibility of Markakis coming back, but he's just saying they need to get an outfielder if Markakis does leave. I think they should try to re-sign him. He is 34 years old, but he had a very good year this year. He's a clubhouse leader because he's a veteran guy. And I think that he was a key part of the Braves' offense this year. He's one of the guys that they need to go back and get, keep him in Atlanta for at least a couple more years. Kurt Suzuki, he's been pretty good this year. He's a catcher. I think he was the backup catcher most of the year. He's been pretty solid, but I wouldn't be too sad with letting him go. We do have Tyler Flowers at catcher, who we just signed to a contract extension this season. And the Braves have been linked all season to Marlins catcher JT Realmuto. A lot of people think that they're going to try to sign him as a free agent during the 2018 offseason. He's a very good catcher, probably the best overall catcher in the National League. So would not be surprised if the Braves try to make a run at him, sign him in a free agent deal over the offseason as a replacement for Kurt Suzuki. Then they'd have Realmuto and Tyler Flowers at the backstop. So I think that'd be a very good addition for the Braves to make during this offseason. It'll be interesting to see what they do. The biggest things that they need are obviously an outfielder if Markakis leaves, and pitching. Everything else I think is good. You know, they have Freddie Freeman at first base. They got Ozzie Albies at second. They got Swanson or Culberson at shortstop. They got Johan Camargo at third. Acuna in left. Ender Inciarte in center field. So really, they just need a right fielder, pitching, and a catcher. Tyler Flowers is good, but if they could get JT Realmuto, I think that'd be good to have two solid backstops there. Add some pitching depth. Get a good right fielder. They'll be solid for next year, make another run at the NL East division title. One player that I don't want the Braves to go after is Bryce Harper. A lot of people are like, oh, the Braves are going to sign Bryce Harper this offseason. No, I don't think they're going to. He's way too expensive and not worth it. He wants like, what, $300, $400 million? He's not worth it. Nick Markakis would be a lot better for the Braves. He'd be cheaper and he'd be better for them. You know, they got to think for the future. They have a lot of these young guys. They have Freddie Freeman. He's not really young anymore, but they do have to re-sign Freddie Freeman eventually. So they have Freeman, they have Albies, they have Acuna. Those guys are the guys they need to keep there. They're anchors of this team. They need to make sure that they have money to re-sign these guys in the future rather than spending $30 million a year on Bryce Harper. So I don't want them to go after Harper. I want them to go after a good, consistent player. Doesn't have to be a flashy superstar player, but a good, consistent outfielder, and save the money to re-sign Acuna and Albies and Freeman when that time comes. That, I think, is the best strategy for the Braves right now. We'll see, though. I'm not the GM, but that's just my opinion. So that's my Braves talk for this week's episode. Spent a lot of time talking about the Atlanta Braves to open up this week's episode of Foul Ball Area. I got a few more things to talk about before we're done, so don't go anywhere. Up next, I'm going to take a look at my preseason predictions from the 2018 MLB season, see how wrong I was. At the beginning of the 2018 season, Trey Lyle and I made our preseason predictions. They were almost the same. We had a couple of differences, but My picks went like this. I said the Yankees would win the American League East this year. The Red Sox ended up winning that division. I said the Indians would win the AL Central, which they did. I said the Astros would win the AL West, which they did. I thought the Nationals were going to win the NL East. They did not. The Braves did. I thought the Cardinals would win the NL Central. They did not. And I thought the Dodgers would win the NL West. They did. So I got 3 out of 6 divisions correct. Got the Indians, the Astros, and the Dodgers all correct in my picks. I also did pick the Cubs to win the NL wild card. So I was correct there. Now, here's where I was really wrong. I picked a Dodgers-Yankees World Series. So that's could be half correct. Dodgers could still make it. The Yankees are out. And I said the Dodgers win it in 6 games. So could be partially correct there if the Dodgers are able to defeat the Brewers in the NLCS and make it to the World Series. I could be partially correct. I don't know, though. It'll be tough. Brewers present a real threat to the Dodgers this year. I think it's been a very good series so far. It's been really interesting to watch. I've enjoyed it. So even though the Dodgers were my preseason pick for the World Series champion, I think at this point, my ideal World Series matchup is Brewers-Astros. For a couple of reasons. It'd be a feel-good story for the Brewers. They've never won anything. They have a couple of players who have been around for a while with, you know, Ryan Braun, who I don't particularly like because of the whole PED scandal, but he's been around for a while. He hasn't won anything. They have Christian Yelich, who's very likable. They have Lorenzo Cain, who won a World Series with the Royals, but he's very likable also. And they have Eric Kratz. Eric Kratz is 38 years old, a journeyman catcher, came over to the Brewers this season, and he's been pretty solid for them. He hasn't been flashy or really stood out that much, but he's been consistent and solid. And Nick Stevens, my former colleague at the RCBO, he wrote a pretty good article about Eric Kratz for the Armchair All-Americans website about how he is the feel-good story of this MLB postseason. You know, he's 38 years old, never been to the playoffs before this season, and he's been performing pretty well for Milwaukee this year, especially in the playoffs. So he's the feel-good story of this postseason, and he graduated from Eastern Mennonite University in Harrisonburg, so that's pretty cool too. So the Brewers are a fun team to watch, and just the fact that they've never won anything, you know, rooting for the underdog. So I think that would be, it'd be cool to see them in the World Series. And then the Astros are just a young, great team. I mean, they have so many great players. Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, George Springer, their entire pitching staff. Brian McCann and Evan Gattis at catcher. I love those guys. So they're a young, great team. They're new to winning. Last year was their first World Series championship. And I'd like to see them keep it going. You know, I'm kind of a fan of dynasties. I don't like the Giants, but when the Giants won 3 World Series in 5 years, I liked that. I like dynasties. So if the Astros could keep it going, get a few more World Series in here over the next couple of years, I'd be a fan. So Brewers-Astros, two teams that are pretty new to winning. The Brewers never won anything. The Astros have only won 1 World Series. Two teams with very likable players. Two teams that you don't really see in the postseason that much. I'd be a fan of that World Series matchup. But we'll see if it happens. Both league championship series are very interesting right now. The ALCS with the Red Sox and the Astros, a good one to watch, very entertaining. And the NLCS with the Brewers and the Dodgers, also entertaining as well. And a lot of drama recently, and that's what I'm going to talk about today for my something to say. On Tuesday night in the NLCS at Dodger Stadium, Manny Machado provided a lot of headlines. A lot of people calling him a dirty player after some things that he did on Tuesday night. The main thing is on a play late in the game, I think it was the 10th inning, Machado was running out of ground ball, and he was clearly out. But as he was called out, he kicked first baseman Jesus Aguilar's leg as he was running to first base. He kicked his leg, and it was clearly intentional. It was clearly a dirty play. Aguilar wasn't very happy about it. Started a little altercation. Both benches cleared. Players ran out on the field. People were yelling at each other. And this was following Game 3 when Manny Machado had a couple of questionable slides into second base. You know, in Game 3, he slid into second base, but he was clearly trying to take out Orlando Arcia. Not really trying to slide into second base, just trying to take out the shortstop. So a dirty slide in Game 3, a dirty play in Game 4, kicking the first baseman's leg. Also in Game 4, he argued with the umpire when he tried to call a timeout while the pitcher was in motion. He wasn't granted the timeout because the pitcher was already in his motion. And so he took strike 3, was called out on the strikeout, and then he argued with the umpire. So Machado is just a dirty player. He gets upset when he doesn't get his way, like when he doesn't get time after the pitcher's already in his motion. And this is a pattern. This isn't anything new. He's always been this way. When he was with the Orioles, there were a couple of times when he had questionable slides into second base. Last year, he slid and spiked Dustin Pedroia's leg. A couple of years ago, he let go of his bat on a swing and it almost hit the third baseman, and that looked intentional. So he's always been a dirty player. And the Dodgers don't have a problem with it, as long as he's helping them win. They're not going to do anything about it. Other people are calling him out. The Brewers players called him out, but he's not acknowledging that it was actually a dirty play. And on top of all of this, he came out and said the other day that he's not the kind of player that's going to hustle. I mean, who says that? Why would you say that if you're a professional baseball player? Why would you come out and openly say that you are not going to hustle during a game? What is the point of that? So he's a dirty player. He whines when he doesn't get his way, and he's not going to hustle. And he's going into a free agent offseason where he's trying to get a $200, $300 million contract. I get he's a generational talent, he's a really good player, but why would you want to pay him that much with all of this drama going on, all the drama that he brings to your team? It's not worth it. He needs to grow up. That's my something to say for this week. That's all I've got for you on this week's episode of Foul Ball Area. Thank you for sticking with me through the entire episode. I know it was just me today. No exciting, interesting interviews, just me rambling on about my thoughts around the world of baseball. But I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out some of the older episodes while you're here on foulballarea.com. I'm Matthew Atkins. Thanks for listening.